You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. An afternoon drive home like no other.
The Mount Rushmore of Seattle is now Hendrix, Cobain, Cornell, and you guessed it, Jerry. Can't wait to see what 2019 brings.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes and Jamie Noodles McLennan, the O-Dog, off to do some panel work tonight. Colorado's in town. You can watch the game on TSN 4. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. So SportsCenter hits for the big guy and little pregame at 6:30. And this is your opportunity, if you've only kind of been paying attention to the stats page on TSN.ca or NHL.com. I'm sure you're aware of this top line for Colorado. And everyone's aware of Nathan MacKinnon. He went first overall.
Right.
He's a Canadian kid. He played on the junior team. If you haven't been watching Mikko Rantanen, now's the time.
He's a player.
Yeah, if you got tickets to the game tonight, focus on him. He's a really good player.
Right. People always say, well, MacKinnon makes Rantanen. Well, Rantanen helps.
Goes both ways. It's a two-way street.
It is. And Landeskog is no, you know, nothing to slight as well. Like
second overall pick.
Now, I had it phrased to me, and I thought this was quite interesting. Somebody told me that they felt that Landeskog was basically about a 55 to 60 point guy as a player. But playing on that, because he's going to play on that line, it'll elevate him to 75, 80.
So basically, Gretzky and Curry were going to put up their points. Whoever the third guy on that line
dragged up a little bit
was going to get 80 points.
Because
I think Landeskog's better than that, though. I think he's a pretty good player his own.
Yeah, but as a standalone, that's what I was told, that 60-point guy is nothing to sneeze at.
That's right.
But what I'm saying is I think that line has the ability to drag him up to a 70-plus, almost an 80-point, because of who he plays with. And he does a great job. Like, he grunts a lot. He does a lot of the grunt work there. Like, Mikko Rantanen's a big man and very strong on the puck. But I think Landeskog is kind of like the wily vet on that line and does a lot of the little things to help it.
He's a really good player.
He plays a lot.
It's a great line.
That may die.
Craig Button's in here. How you doing, Craig?
I'm good. I'm like Landeskog. You guys just drag me up.
That's right.
No way.
That's right.
Look at the outfit he's wearing.
That's a spectacular 2019 outfit.
That is an A-list suit.
Is that new for the new year? Like, is that how you do? You have a new wardrobe based on the year? Do you roll
season.
Over
I go season.
Yeah, I'm season. Although I will say, good news. I just had them delivered today. I got to go pick them up at the Sports Center thing. But
you got new suits and everything.
Shirts.
Look at you.
Get all excited.
You get some new suits. I did get this is. I got this one early fall.
Sharp.
And then I got another one just before Christmas. But then I like to get the shirts and the ties, and I might go in and just buy 6 or 7 ties. Just go. Okay, time for some refreshing.
See, I got all these ties, and I never wear ties. Yeah. So I have all these ties, and it's like, what's the point?
Well, the last time around, I had some suits come in, and I was very happy with them. But one of the ties came in, and I remember Steph said right away, that's a Craig Button tie. And it actually is my favorite tie out of the whole group.
It's a creative tie.
It's got a little life to it.
I like
It's not boring.
Your son, Quinn, my daughter, Quinn, she is now she's got a little business going.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like, I think she's trying to follow in the steps of Carrie Gendron.
Really?
Yeah. You know, so she takes a lot of, she's taken a whole bunch of my stuff that I don't wear anymore or whatever. I used to just give it away to Goodwill or In From the Cold or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Well, she's taking it now and she's selling it. Shirts, ties, old suits,
good
pants, jackets, right?
Wow.
Yeah. So she comes in and pesters me. You know, I haven't seen you wear this tie for a while. You're going to wear it?
That's
so you better be careful. I might have forgotten about it. Then I go, hey, I am going to wear that.
That's one. An there entrepreneur you're raising there, Craig.
Yeah.
So the top line for Colorado is getting the top line in Toronto. Tavares, Marner, and Hyman. And we've been discussing this throughout the afternoon. I do think it has been clarified now. Doesn't mean it can't change. And you want internal competition. But coming into the season, it was, for my opinion, whoever Matthews is playing with, that's the top line. Because Matthews, I believe, is the best player. I still do, considering the slump he's in. That's not going to change my opinion. But the Tavares line has been the most consistent, most dominant, I think the most trustworthy on both ends of the rink. And I think if you ask Mike Babcock, if he can only play one line tonight, he's playing that Tavares line. It's not a surprise. Who's getting the MacKinnon line? It's not Matthews. Not Kadri, it's the top line. It's Tavares.
What's been the one constant with the forward lines this year?
Those three, if they're healthy.
It's very clear. 11, 91, and 16.
Right.
That's who plays.
There, right from, I mean, Tavares and Marner look like they played together for a long time, uh-huh. and Hyman is who he is. I mean, he's a hardworking guy who helps retrieve the puck. Matthews, it's more of a, I mean, it's guilt by association. His guy was gone for 2 months, Willie Nylander. Mm-hmm. So now you're moving players around. Now, Kapanen's a nice player, but if you said at the start of the season, okay, Matthews is going to be riding shotgun with Johnsson and Kapanen, like that's more in a perfect, with the depth they have, that's more of your third line. Like Kapanen and Johnsson, to me, are third line players. They can give you top six, but like I think William Nylander screwed Austin
Nylander
Matthews.
Isn't helping. I think Patrick Marleau didn't help.
Right.
Because Marleau, you can't play him in those kind of minutes, in my opinion. And I'm not sure he ever can again, quite frankly. I think he's just a third-line guy for the next year and a half. But
you could find, like, if William Nylander was at the top of his game, then it's Matthews, Nylander, and Johnsson's a player who works hard, is in that Hyman role, and works very hard. But it's you're trying to get Nylander going, and finally you're like, okay, I'm going to push him down with Kadri. Kapanen, you're back up there. Like, Austin's kind of getting the short end of the stick. Now, he's a great enough player that we just talked about
dragging
players up.
He should be dragging him up, but he's not playing as well as he can play.
It's
I think that factors in as well. He's not playing as well as he can play.
But Kadri, too, he's gotten a little bit of the leftovers, too.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to say that in a disparaging way, but, you know, he played with Marner, he played with Van Riemsdyk, he's not the second-line center anymore, he's the third-line center.
Right.
And the number of wingers he's playing with, you know, I love Nazem. I want him on my team. I thought Saturday night against Boston, he's got the attitude.
Yeah, he comes to play.
He's the guy you want. Yeah, like, I'm not looking just at the playoffs. I don't care anymore. They're going to be in the playoffs. They got to figure out, how do we beat Boston, and then how do we beat Tampa? That to me is all they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
They need to do. Like that's where the focus should be.
Yeah, and is that Babcock you're talking about in particular?
Whole organization, everybody? All hands on deck.
Yeah,
so we want to move. Hey, listen, they made the playoffs 2 years ago. It was great.
Yeah.
Right. They lost to Washington, pretty good series. Lost last year in Game 7 when you thought this is about taking a step forward now. This isn't about, we made the playoffs. This is about, you got to win a round. You got to win two rounds. That's how I see it. And so you got to figure out how you're going to do it.
So just, we've been talking about the last 2 hours. The way that the roster is constructed right now, if Boston doesn't make a move and the Leafs don't make a move, are you comfortable with that Leaf roster going head-to-head against the Bruins? Like if there was just, you know, I mean, there's tinkering, but if the Leafs don't go and do something on the back end, if they don't, I mean, you want players playing at the top of their game. Let's just
if Hainsey and Zaitsev are combining for 40 plus minutes in a playoff game,
you're in trouble.
You're in big trouble.
That's
just the reality.
Just think about playoff preparation.
Yeah,
you've been a lot of playoff preparations, right?
Yeah.
And one of the first things you do when you're preparing for your opponent, how do we take their weaker players? They're down. You're not pushing Matthews out of a playoff series. You're not pushing Tavares out of a playoff series.
Right.
You got to match up head to head with them what you're doing is you're picking on the weak links, right? So you ask yourself, you don't think that the Boston Bruins aren't looking at Zaitsev and saying we're going to eat this guy alive, Ron Hainsey? And that's, I'm not knocking those guys. I'm not trying to hammer those guys. That's how you get into playoffs. You try to take a playoff roster, right? And you go look at Toronto and go, okay, we're not going to reduce Tavares or Marner or Matthews.
Right.
Who do we reduce? We used to do that to Colorado. Colorado, when I was in Dallas, they had all those top-end guys. But we used to just, we knew we weren't pushing Sakic or Forsberg or Foote out of the game.
Right.
So we went after everybody else.
Right.
So all of a sudden now they're playing with 12, they're playing with 10 guys now.
Right.
And the other guys are going, why are you coming after us? Listen, you don't get to play just quietly.
Well, and when you think of Hainsey and Zaitsev, for the most part, one of them's going to be on the ice almost the whole night.
There you go.
You know, almost the whole night. There's going to be one guy. And listen, Ron Hainsey's had a brilliant career.
Yeah, he's a good player, too.
And Zaitsev, I think, is capable of being better than this, but I don't know. I mean, he had a good rookie year, and last year was a disaster, and this year he's been okay, I guess, based on standards. But if that is your number two and number four defenseman, and they are going to be combining for upwards of 45 minutes of ice time, that's a problem.
It is. Yeah,
and, that's a problem.
And now Gardner has to play more or do more, right?
And Boston, they've got his number. I don't know what they're doing differently than other teams. I don't know if it's psychological, if it's the forecheck. I don't know. But he is panicked against that team.
And that's where I think they're really being hard on a guy like Dermott right now and have been all year to see if they can challenge him to see the growth there. And maybe he's a guy who pushes into your top four. And through experience and through confidence, I think when the dust settles, that's probably what they're thinking and what they would like. You know, you can't just fast track the process. He has to go through it. And even, you know, you said the other day, I was reading his comments saying, you know, they've been hard on me this year. Well, obviously, I think they expect more out of him. He's playing with Ozhiganov, who, you know, I think has had some struggles as well. But I you know, there's a lot of canceling. And believe me, the Bruins are not without their warts as
well. No, you're right.
That's where I think the Leafs will match up against them and say, okay, well, you know, we like our third line better than theirs, or what can we get more out of, you know, deeper down or down deeper in their roster.
But it may not have to go that far down because of what we just talked about to spark this whole conversation. If Tavares gets Bergeron, Matthews, you're up. If you can't beat Krejci,
there you go.
We're in trouble. You know, like that's it. Like if you're, and I know that's simplistic to say 1-1-1-1-1.
Right.
But if it gets down to that, Matthews, based on a matchup, you've got the Krejci line. He's got to feed him his lunch. He's got to.
Yeah.
Krejci's got a ton of playoff experience and great playoff resume.
He's a really good player.
But he's not Auston Matthews.
No.
At any point in his career, he hasn't been Auston Matthews.
Well, and Auston did not have a good playoff last year.
No, he did not.
So you're exactly right, Brian. You know what? This is where, you know, the rubber. It hits the road, right? And to me, the Leafs are a very good team. But but the challenge for them is, so is Tampa Bay, and so is Boston. And if you're Calgary, so is Vegas, and so is San Jose. And if you're Washington, so is Pittsburgh, right? And Columbus.
There's about eight teams.
Yeah, there are, right?
Really?
So what do you do if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs? It's a clear view. We got to beat two teams to get to the conference final. What do we have to do to beat those teams? We know... Everybody, there's not anybody that wouldn't say that William Nylander at his game is it really gives the Leafs another step up. Mm-hmm. He's got to find that step up because right now he hasn't.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I heard you guys in the lunch and you said it. You're like, that's the guy. Because we spent 3 months talking about him. If he's at 100%, they're a much improved team. Right. And he's, you know, it's been a long time here. It's still a while until we get to the playoffs. But it better be going into the playoffs, you got to see something. Because he's not just going to snap out of it on April 10th.
No, but I think
he's got to show it before then.
I think you'll see a gradual improvement. But I think also confidence is such a fragile thing. He gets one or two, and all of a sudden he's feeling it. Him and Auston get going again. Like and you know, Auston, it's you know, I talked about Line A last night or two nights ago. I can't remember. It all morphs together. These goal scorers, they go through stretches, and Auston is no different than Jerome McGinley and Alex Ovechkin and all these guys who you can go through. Alex Ovechkin, Patrick Kane, go through their whole career. There will be pockets of 10, 12 games where it's 3 points and it's quiet. And then all of a sudden, there's pockets of 10 games where they got 12 goals. That's the nature of the beast. I've seen it year in, year out. And I think Auston has to fight through that right now. He will. He'll be fine. But I think William is a guy who has to get going. And the two of them work well together. And then all of a sudden, you'll see some chemistry with Johnsson. Because Johnsson's a pretty hard-working guy. You know, I think he gives what he can out there. And he's got more upside, I think, than other...
He can play. I mean,
I'm really happy when these guys go into slumps because it gives us something to talk about.
Well, there is. I mean,
what's wrong with Sidney Crosby? Well, nothing really. Well, he hasn't scored in seven games.
No, I just did a thing on Carey Price today.
Yeah, Carey Price.
I just did a thing. Once every 3 months, it's, you know, what's wrong with this guy? What's wrong with that guy? Well, you know, it's the natural progression, but that's, you have to talk about it because it's right in our face. Like, that's, you know, sometimes the stats do get skewed because if you're, like, I never worry about Auston because. Those chances, like that backhand chance the other night, like that's in his sleep he puts that in. He just, it's a little bit of a tough stretch right now.
Well, he had a disallowed goal on what, a millimeter?
I know.
He rings the inside of the post against New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
He fires another one where he was putting it under the bar just a little bit over, right? Like, I mean, like, so it's just, if he wasn't getting chances, I used to tell Jerome all the time, when you stop getting chances, I'll start to get worried.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, listen, Austin Matthews is too good, too talented, too driven. He's going to be fine in those areas, but I think, like, when he's on his game, it starts in the neutral zone for him a lot of times. Like, the way he can trigger a rush, the way he can, you know, like, just being in the building, you know, you can feel it. When he's got the puck and he's picking it up at his own hash marks or at the top of the circle and he's starting to chug, you can feel it. Well, and I don't see that much right now in this current kind of rut he's in.
Well, and that brings me back to the Colorado line. And to me, it's a huge thing. I can go to the Calgary line, too. But the Colorado line, McKinnon drives that with speed. But Rantanen and Landeskog know exactly how to get McKinnon the puck when he's with speed, right? And when McKinnon's using his speed to back up defenders and open up ice, they know how to get open. I don't think Austin Matthews has that same type of symmetry. Elias Lindholm and with Goudreau and Monahan.
Right.
If you're defending against that line, you got to defend the entire defensive zone. Because they can beat you anywhere, high to low, side to side, and then they get inside, right?
Yep.
Austin doesn't have that right now.
No, he doesn't.
I'm not making excuses for him, but he doesn't have that.
Right.
Well, you know, speaking of Calgary in the West and what's going on there, we were discussing this with Ray in the previous hour and just how deceptive that playoff picture is, because you got Winnipeg, Nashville, Calgary, San Jose, Vegas. They're all in.
Yeah.
And they're all good teams.
Yeah. Yep.
A third team's got to be in the Central.
Right.
Someone's got to get in, and there's got to be two wildcard teams. Nobody wants it right now based on their play. And, you know, we were discussing the Ryan Rashog report about, you know, Shirelli and the Oilers. They're pursuing some offensive help and what they might be willing to give up to acquire that. I mean, I understand if you're looking at the standings, you're thinking we're right there. But none of these teams are actually even close to truly being competitive in terms of a cup run or actually pursuing that Stanley Cup. So if you're a GM in Minnesota, Anaheim, Vancouver, Edmonton, like, what do you do here, Craig? What do you do leading up to the trade deadline? And how do you explain it to your owner that, yeah, maybe we could get in if we catch a bit of a heater, but we're not that good of a team.
Yeah,
and we're going to get smoked in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of the trick. See, and you know, you're trying to... You're looking at playoff gates. You know, what does it mean for other types of corporate deals that you're trying to renew? You know, every organization is different. You know, the other thing that I also think you have to look at too, Brian, is it. So you're some of these teams, right? And you're going, wait a sec. Vancouver looks like they're really coming ahead, right? Nashville's going nowhere. Winnipeg's going nowhere. Calgary's going nowhere. Vegas is going nowhere. It looks like Vancouver's on the uptick, right? Colorado's got some really good young players on their team. Cale Makar, one of the best players outside the NHL, affiliated with the NHL. Like, so now you're going to go try to make the playoffs. Are you going to set yourself back where you're going to be even further behind next year? I think you have to look at it that way, too. Like, you know, like San Jose's a good team.
They're really good.
Like, see, if the team that I think has to really look at something seriously is San Jose, because I don't think they have a long runway here with the age of their players.
Right. You're saying they're in a window and it may not be a 5-year
window. I think it's real short.
Yeah.
I think it's really, really tight for them.
Well, and I would Doug Wilson's one of the most
he's a proactive
GMs in the league. Like, well, he goes out there and he moves and shakes.
He missed out on JT.
And like, what did he do?
Well, he got Carlson.
Exactly.
But I don't think he's done trying to upgrade his forwards.
No, I wouldn't be.
And his team now, like, I mean, they looked like Carlson couldn't find his way there. They couldn't find their way with Carlson. That's evaporated. Yeah. They're going good now.
I was thinking about this the other day. When Anaheim won, it was Pronger and Niedermeyer. Like, San Jose has Pronger and Niedermeyer in Burns and Carlson. And Vlasic's in there.
Yeah.
Like, Vlasic's a hell of a player. So you've got a three-pack there that you can just roll through. They're going to be on the ice the whole time. The forwards, like that Timo Meier, we're talking off air, like he's a hell of a player,
yes, he
too.
Is.
So it's Pavelski, who's a potential unrestricted free agent. I think when people look at San Jose, the biggest misnomer is you see Joe and you think they're old and slow. You've got an older team, but those younger players have been pushing them.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree. I think Wilson is going to be proactive, like, and try and add to a team that is already deep, but you're right, the window is shortened because Pavelski's unrestricted. Joe is older than dirt. And, you know, and Burns is over 30. Like, to me, Jones has to be the guy. It always comes back.
And you're not going to have Carlson, it looks like, after this year.
Yeah,
barring something, right? So, like, you look at what your opportunity is, mm-hmm. you know, and similar to Toronto. And, you know, when, like, to me, you're not compromising the future. But you got to look at how do you set yourself up to take advantage of this year's opportunity? Jake Gardner might not be here next year. Matthews and Marner are on different contracts, mm-hmm. right? Yep. What does that all mean in terms of, I think that one of the beautiful things about San Jose and any team is when your team gives you a clear indication that you're good. That makes it really easy for a GM. Well, okay, what can we do? Here's the one or two or three areas we want to improve in. Let's get after it. And I think that's the same thing for the Leafs. I think it's the same exact thing for the Leafs.
It makes you wonder who's going to jump first because when you look, again, those three divisions, and it's even more pronounced in the Pacific, it's over. Like the Pacific is done. It's Calgary, San Jose, Vegas, in no particular order.
Well, what are they like? The fourth place team is like 15 points behind.
Anaheim. Yeah. Anaheim is 13 points behind Vegas, who are in third.
Okay,
it's over. Like they're gone.
Yeah, they're gone.
Right. So, and it's not again as pronounced in the Atlantic, but I think it'll be Tampa, Toronto, Boston. Tampa will be one, and then either Toronto, Boston, two or three. Now Montreal and Buffalo aren't that far behind,
but I think go away either.
Right, but they're not in the division.
No, I'm sorry.
So what I'm saying is. The point I'm trying to make, which team is going to jump first? Which team is going to say, forget it, I'm going to get Mark Stone, like before this team guts, or I'm going to get Wayne Simmons, or I'm going to, you know, and how will that trigger a bit of a domino effect?
I just want to add this too. So, and in the Atlantic and the Pacific, you want to finish in first. I think it's a foregone conclusion in the Atlantic.
Tampa's gone.
It's not in the Pacific.
No, it's not.
And so you do not want to be playing. You don't want to be the second and third place team because
I'm
not saying it's an easy pass for the first place team. But it's
a lot easier. It's a lot easier. But you're right. And I keep coming back to it's the deadline is 6 weeks today.
Uh-huh.
It feels like, whether indirectly or not, Chiarelli kicked it off with the acquisition of Petrovich and all of that, Manning, like, what was that, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, yeah.
Did he fast-track it a little bit? They were trying to deal with some stuff, but to me, GMs, I know they're always proactive, but when did you start to feel like, okay, when you were going to make some moves, you had them probably brewing for a while, but was there a point where you're like, a pressure point where I need to pull the trigger a month out, or is it just depending on situational?
Well, I think it's both those things. I know one time I was talking with Jim Rutherford in Carolina. He wanted to make a deal. We were trying to make a deal. We were talking and talking, but he wasn't ready to do it. Then I started to press a little bit, and then it was like he became less interested in doing it because I was like maybe just a little bit too aggressive, right?
You're excited,
it was actually Marty Jelena.
Oh, really?
Marty Jelena was in his last year in a contract, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, he was going to be a free agent. Ironically, though, think about who went to the Stanley Cup final that year.
Yeah.
Jim Rutherford made a great move by not trading Marty Jelena. Carolina went to the, but we were trying to get him in Calgary. We were trying to, and then we ended up signing him that summer. But we were prepared to. Oh, yeah. And it was one of those conversations where you're talking, it makes sense. And he's going to make sense. And sometimes it's just
didn't get
there's
there.
A reluctance, right? There is sometimes a reluctance on somebody's part. Not that
maybe
the deal isn't
feeling
there.
Or something. Or?
Yeah, just like, hey, you know what? Yeah, maybe we'll revisit. A lot of deals get revisited after the trade deadline.
Of course.
Like, you know, so you start to figure out, let's rekindle these talks, right? You're planting the seed and, you know, then you go in there and that's into the draft, right? But I think that, you know, the way it is now, and I shouldn't say it's any different than it was before, if you have an opportunity to try to improve your team, you have to look at it. You have to be prepared. That's why when I read the Ryan Rashog report, honestly, I just laugh. I want to go into a padded room with soundproof and just laugh like uncontrollably.
Based on what do you mean? The fact that
they're going to send everybody out now. Like,
oh, the Oilers are against the Army's
know,
out.
You, like it, what you're saying, what you're screaming is, we don't know the league. We better go find out what the league is, right?
Yes.
Like the good teams just sit back and they go, okay, what do we need? Okay, let's. Yeah. So you have your reports in order. What you're going to go out in a week and send everybody out, and all of a sudden you're going to find the next great skilled player.
The Chiarelli Army.
Oh my!
They're
God.
They're out there. They're watching. They've got everyone bugged. It's all good.
It's unbelievable.
Well, we'll see.
Brian, honestly, it's unbelievable.
I love it. Good seeing you, buddy. We'll catch you. Where are we going to watch you tonight? Sports Center. What are you
Sports
doing?
Sports Center. Right, I'm on the Leafs pre.
There you go.
Top 50 affiliated prospects out tomorrow.
Looking
we got a little preview on the Leafs.
All right, man.
Good.
TSN.ca.
Yeah.
There's Craig Button, our TSN hockey analyst. Jake Plummer on the NFL playoffs, and we got an update on the menu at the White House tonight. We'll tell you about that next. All right, Jake Plummer coming up here in just a moment. Longtime NFLer, Pro Bowl quarterback, at his take on the four best offenses still kicking around in the NFL playoffs and what he feels about Tom Brady just continuing to... That was a masterpiece yesterday, man. That first half was surgical, and the Chargers had nothing. And Phillip Rivers, you know, that kind of hurts his reputation. He's always been a guy that regular season, he puts up big numbers, gets to the playoffs, and can he get them over the hump? And it didn't happen for him yesterday. But it's going to be a fun Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a very, very entertaining Sunday. And we'll let you hear from Donald Trump in just a moment about the menu at the White House tonight. There is an explanation for the menu. I'll tell you about that explanation as well. But we've got former Pro Bowl NFL QB on the line, co-founder of Ready List Sports. The website is ReadyListSports.com, and it's an interactive web-based playbook for coaches and players. Again, you can find it online, ReadyListSports.com. Here's Jake Plummer. How you doing, Jake?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing today?
We're doing really well. Thank you for doing this, man. What do you make of this?
Anytime.
As a quarterback yourself, you look at the four quarterbacks remaining and the four best offenses remaining. Is this a sign of the times? Is this an anomaly? Or do you think this is just the way the NFL should be?
You know, I think it's just there's some fresh coaches that have come in. I mean, even some older ones that are not afraid to, to change and not afraid to take their playbook and maybe throw it in the trash and start new, like Andy Reid, who just continues to create mismatches and get guys in open space and really provide the NFL and the NFL fan an extremely fun viewing, experience to watch the Kansas City Chiefs play, to watch the Rams play, to watch all these teams play. I mean, you mentioned going into the interview here, Tom Brady, how amazing that, first half for them was. And, things go their way too. You know, they get some breaks, they get a few bounces, but he was surgical and guys were making plays for him and it's impressive. But I really hope, and I think a lot of fans will second this notion here. I really, really hope. I mean, I love Drew Brees and Tom Brady. I mean, God, I played against those guys and they're still playing, but I'm excited to see the next generation come up like Goff and Mahomes, because these two kids, they really are impressive and they've been put into situation with some really, really adaptable, fun coaches that can see their skill sets and surround them with players. And we're seeing, kind of a new breed of quarterback come in. I mean, the old guard, Jared Goff, can still stand there and throw it, but Patrick Mahomes, man, come on, that guy, he's saving the NFL right now with his playmaking ability. So it's a lot of fun to see how it'll all shake out.
I'm with you on that. If I could put money down and guarantee an outcome this upcoming weekend for a Super Bowl, it's Rams-Chiefs every day of the week, because we witnessed it earlier this year. It was the most entertaining game of the year.
Man,
it was unbelievably entertaining. And it would be a shootout. Like, Vegas would place the total for that game at, 70, 74.5 points.
Let's not forget, though, that there was some superb defensive plays made.
Yes.
Some touchdowns by the defense. So it wasn't like this offensive juggernaut, no defense. I mean, there was some defense played. So you're really watching, you're witnessing some real bright minds that are putting guys into position to do some big things. And there's also some amazing players that are adapting to this new style and learning it and going out there. And again, it's all about making plays. The easy catch is always routine. It's the guys that make those non-routine plays, like the ball that's not right in your wheelhouse that you reach back for and catch on a third and two to keep a drive alive. And we see that. These teams, all these guys keep doing that.
With longtime NFL quarterback Jake Plummer, you look at Brady, another reason why, I don't need to see the Patriots in another Super Bowl is because he's got nothing left to prove. With his win over the weekend, Brady has more playoff wins than Peyton Manning had playoff starts. He's got 28 wins. Peyton Manning started 27 playoff games. This whole idea of a debate, and you may look at it differently, I'm not sure, Jake, but I don't think it's up for debate anymore. I think this guy has put a stake in the ground. He's the greatest of all time. So let's start the clock on Mahomes chasing him or something.
You're right. I mean, he just – Brady's amazing. I mean, for real. He just keeps doing it. But let's not – forget the people around him that put pieces in place to make that happen, that coaching staff and the guys that come out of there. They're all real, again, bright-minded guys that know how to get mismatches and put him in position to succeed. But still, he works the pocket better than anybody I can remember as far as creating that time without moving too much, but just enough. And, you know, I'm more ashamed of the rest of the NFL that can't beat this guy. You know,
right.
Come on. I talk about that all once in a while with these other teams in the AFC. Let's go. Who's going to step up? Let's go. This is the dynasties are made not only because the guys are great, which they are, but also the lack of greatness chasing them. Like, we're witnessing a great team in Kansas City, I hope. And hopefully they can beat those guys and move on, because I, again, as much as I admire and I respect what Tom Brady's done, I'm just wanting to see some new teams in there, some new faces and some young blood coming in, and hopefully that happens. But if it doesn't, you know, I still, you know, enjoy watching Tom Brady, and Drew Brees had an amazing, should be MVP if not for Patrick Mahomes' season.
Well, you know, you bring up a great point, because you look at the division that I think New England has been fortunate enough to play in, where the Bills, the Jets, the Dolphins, the past 15 years have been terrible. But they get to the playoffs, and yeah, a lot of times they have that bye during the wild card weekend, and they're always playing at home. But the Chargers were a great team, and they dismantled them. You know, they beat everybody, and I can sense it in your voice, and I think a lot of people share it league-wide. Why can nobody figure out Belichick and the Pats? Like, why can you not game plan to get these guys?
I just think those guys are machines. You know, there are certain athletes and players that are that play by just going out and doing their thing, and then there's other technicians and kind of evil geniuses that can go in and they spend countless hours, you know, looking at their opponents, finding a weakness, and then finding a brilliant way to exploit that weakness over and over and over again, and ultimately pull out a victory or have a large part of that, you know, victory be where they found a weakness in their opponents. So it's interesting. I mean, it's a well-tuned machine there in New England with coaching staff, ownership, all the way down to the players. And yeah, I'm not a dynasty fan. You know, I never watch soap operas, and I don't care to see the same team win over and over. Did not even watch the national championship because, again, it's Clemson and Auburn every single year, it seems like, and I'm just tired of that. So, you know, for me, I at least have someone that I'm not rooting against. I don't like to root against anybody, but, you know, it would be nice to see some new teams in there.
The website is ReadyListSports.com. It's an interactive web-based playbook for coaches and players. He is former NFL QB and Pro Bowler Jake Plummer. The other storyline, or many storylines, came out of the weekend, but one of the bigger ones related to a team that actually lost, and that would be the Eagles. How do you feel about the way this is going to play out with Nick Foles and Carson Wentz, and if, in fact, Foles ends up moving on? And I think that's what most people are expecting to happen. How much pressure is on Carson Wentz to get this team back to a Super Bowl or win a Super Bowl based on what's happened with Nick Foles?
Oh, man, it's crazy. It's very rare that can happen, where a guy sticks around and does it 2 years in a row and almost gets him back to the big one 2 years in a row. But we saw what Carson Wentz could do once he was healthy. I mean, he's a young, awesome quarterback. Can make plays. Again, has come in and brought that new flavor from college a little bit. But he's a tough guy that can wing it, has a big arm. And we'll see some good stuff from Carson Wentz. But, you know, Tom Brady is Tom Brady, and one of the greatest ever. Drew Brees, you know, Peyton Manning, those guys are some of the greatest ever because they were on the field. They weren't hurt. So
right.
It's a tough predicament there because Philly has a great player, but can he stay on the field for the whole season? And that's really a challenge that people don't really look at and they take for granted, is that staying healthy. Even in today's game where guys aren't getting popped as hard as they did when I played, it's still a matter of staying in the game and being there and not getting hurt and you know, knowing. I hate when guys get hurt. I'm saddened for the guy because I don't think I could have made it through too many more injuries than I had in my career. I didn't like being hurt because you're not on the field. So, you know, for a guy like Wentz, he's got to find a way to stay healthy. But Foles has done himself big time justice. A lot of teams out there looking for a good quarterback to maybe not be the starter, but to push their starter to get even better. I know in Arizona, they tried to bring some guys in that always made me have to keep, you know, pushing, keep playing hard, because, you know, you don't want to get lackadaisical as a starter. If there's a guy behind you that proves he can get it done, makes you work harder too. So there's a lot of things that, you know, Nick Foles has set himself up well, I think, to to be a guy who gets a chance on another team. And if he can do it, you know, good for him. And if Carson can do it, good for him.
The website is ReadyListSports.com, an interactive web-based playbook for coaches and players. He's on Twitter, at SnakesTakes. Longtime NFL quarterback Jake Plummer. Always appreciate you finding time for us, Jake. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs, man. We'll do it again down the road.
Hey, guys, I appreciate it, and thanks for plugging my little company there. Any coaches out there listening, it's a sweet little app that if you want to get it going and have accountability and all the good things with football, check it out, ReadyListSports.com. Thanks, guys.
You got it, buddy. Yeah. There's Jake Plummer, Jake the Snake Plummer.
Love it.
Love that handle.
It is one of the best handles out there.
Jake the Snake. If your name's Jake, you have to go by the Snake.
You think so?
I think so. Even if you're a man of integrity and honesty, you have to go by the Snake.
Yeah. Especially if you're a big quarterback, yeah. Like that's...
No, absolutely. These Brady stats, though, like he's played 17 full seasons where he's been healthy. Made the playoffs 16 times. 16 times he's been to the playoffs. 13 of those he made it to the AFC Championship game. It's gross.
I would like Brady to...
Gross.
...do an ESPN video where he sits there and goes... This is the time where I realized I was the greatest of all time. Like, what if he did a LeBron?
He should pull a LeBron.
But I would love that.
I wonder which game he would point to.
That's what I mean.
Where he said that was... I would guess it was the Super Bowl against Atlanta. Down 28-3.
Yeah, and they charged back. Like, that game was over.
Over.
Were we not at... I thought I was at your house.
That was the year before. Pete that was in Seattle. That was when they didn't hand the ball off to Marshawn Lynch.
That one was like...
That was Pat's, too.
I think Kent Burness was... We had like a whole TSN get-together.
Oh, we had a whole shaker
together.
Going. Yeah, and we were all over for
I thought it was like... That game was done.
It was over.
Seattle won.
Yep. And that was Malcolm Butler with the pick. That was against Seattle. Like, the amazing thing is... This is why I'm conflicted on what I want to see happen. Okay. I'd like to see Rams-Chiefs because I'd like some new blood, and they put forth the most entertaining game of the season this year. So we've seen it, and I know it would be high-octane. It would be incredible to see.
Right.
Also, it would be fresh for the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl. There's no new storylines.
Well, and Belichick's giving you nothing.
He's not going to give you anything. They're boring. Super Bowl week, media day, it's boring. There's nothing left to accomplish, in my opinion. Brady, it's over. He's the greatest of all time. Belichick, yeah. Brady, that's the greatest duo of all time. But every Super Bowl they play in is incredible entertainment.
It really is.
There's never blowouts. They're always close. It always comes down to the fourth quarter. Every single one they play in is a close game.
It's
so
very dramatic.
Watch what you wish for is what I'm saying. Like, yes, the buildup from our standpoint, content and all that kind of stuff, it would be boring to an extent if the Pats got back there. But I guarantee you the game will be fun.
That's where I want to see it. Like, I don't know why.
You'd rather see Pats take on either the Rams or the Saints.
Yes. Every day of the week. I'd like to see Brady versus Breeze.
That would be cool. But I think, again, if you're the NFL, if you're the marketing department, you're praying Mahomes and Goff. You're praying you get the new blood, the young, the kids in there, right? Start the next wave.
Yeah, start the next generation.
Because it's over. Breeze is great. Brady, they're going to the Hall of Fame. We've seen it for 20 years.
So maybe one last dance, though.
It might be. Listen, there's four options.
There is.
There's four options for what we're going to get.
And you know Tom is... He's sitting at
He'll
home
be ready.
Like he's going to be ready. Like
they'll
he,
be ready.
He was pissed yesterday. Almost when they won, like his media, he was not.
Well,
he
heard everybody saying that they're done. He heard it for 2 weeks. People were saying it's over. The Chargers are going to smoke them.
Yeah,
end of the dynasty. Brady can't play anymore.
He took shots. Like it was almost like he took shots at people saying, like, you really want to doubt me?
Which I kind of appreciate.
I guarantee. Go ahead and doubt me again, please.
So Clemson, the national champions for college football, they're at the White House tonight. And this is what Trump had to say earlier today about the menu for tonight.
The Clemson championship team, the national championship team, will be coming tonight. It'll be exciting. Very great team, an unbelievable team. They'll be coming tonight. And I think we're going to serve McDonald's, Wendy's, and Burger King's with some pizza. I really mean it. It'll be interesting. And I would think that's their favorite food. So we'll see what happens.
I think he pluralizes Burger King. He says Burger King's. But I'm looking at a picture here at the White House. He's in his suit, his red tie, and there are burgers
really
everywhere. But
is it a meme, like that people put burgers around?
No, no, this is real. You can see the guy who's there working it and setting it up. He's lighting candles. There's candles lit. It's in like the dining room or the dining hall of the White House. And it's Wendy's, Burger King, McDonald's. You can see all these companies represented. But I think he deserves some credit here. Because, well, I don't know, depending on where, which side right. of the aisle you
exactly.
stand on, because
yeah,
you
yeah.
might argue there's a government shutdown because of him.
Right.
But because of the shutdown, I guess he is personally paying for it, because the government technically yeah. doesn't have the ability to pay, or maybe the chefs are off. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So Trump, I guess he's pulling cash out of his own pockets. And he said, I got to get Wendy's, Burger King,
I'm looking at
McDonald's,
the pictures right now.
Pizza, all the great American food represented. So
yeah.
there you go.
I don't know. I don't even know what to say about that.
I'll guarantee, listen, I would have gone, if I was invited to the White House, I would have expected something more.
Yes. Steak.
Posh. Yes, yeah, exactly.
Something
more, you know, high-end kind of five-star type. But I'm not complaining about McDonald's or Wendy's or Burger King or pizza.
Right.
Like, I eat that all the time, so it wouldn't be a complaint necessarily. It would just kind of catch me off guard.
I'd see you doubling down. Like, would you, like, if there was just enough for like one and one and a half, like, I could see guys
circle
especially
back.
You get
there's
some
big boys.
I was just gonna say, some big gentlemen rolling yeah. in
the
there.
Linemen, the seniors are coming in, they're coming in hot,
like four or five each.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of food though.
Yeah, there is. It looks like,
and Trump will be in there. Trump loves McDonald's. Loves it. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Leafs, Colorado tonight. We'll tee that up as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at two NHL games tonight. Chicago's paying $230 at Jersey. You know, I know Chicago hasn't been great this year, but New Jersey's been terrible.
Yeah, Chicago's lost three in a row. They're probably due to.
They're paying $230. It's more about the odds. And I'm at Washington at home against St. Louis. Throw down 20. You can score 67. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Leafs Colorado on TSN 4 tonight. Freddie Anderson making his return.
Yeah.
What do you expect out of Freddie?
I expect him to be sharp, but I mean, Vasilevsky hit the ground running right against the Leafs his first game back, and that was after 6 weeks. So tough to tell. It's about comfort. But before he got hurt, he looked as comfortable as anybody in the league.
You got to hope that's where he's...
Exactly.
Be like, there just, for April at the very
just
least.
Just jump right back on
that's
and play.
Right. All right, we're out of here. Enjoy the games. Enjoy your evenings. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.